one of the great things is that no day is like the day before, and no day coming is like the day you're currently having. But I very much like to, solve puzzles. I feel like I'm much better at puzzle solving than problem solving, which I don't think people really think about sometimes.
Hey, it's Catherine, your host of the Space to Build podcast, the show that highlights the paths that women in architecture, construction, and engineering take, and they share their actionable items for you to apply in your own career or company development. Today, our guest is Megan Ross. She is a project manager, puzzle solver, and caffeine lover. She sits on boards of multiple professional associations and gives her time back to her alma mater. In this episode, we cover 4 tips for networking and building your career as someone in an operations role, problem solving versus puzzle solving, and what that even means, passing the torch to the next person and the benefits of doing so, and moving forward from generational habits that we've seen time and time again. And before we get started, here's a quick word from our sponsor. Bond Civil and Utility is a premier full-service construction management and self-performing general contractor working for the civil, utility, power, energy, and infrastructure markets. Bond is well known for delivering reliable, safe, and high-quality work with offices in Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, and Rhode Island. Bond employs more than 700 building construction professionals, including 460 field staff and 54 administrative staff members. For more information, please visit www.bond-civilutility.com.
So who is Megan as a human being?
That's one of the fun questions. Yeah, you start to think deep about who are you actually instead of just what you do. Mm-hmm. I think of myself as a friend, a competitor, an advocate, a content absorber. I'm always taking in new information. So that's what I would say Megan is as a human.
So what brought you into the world of construction?
So I've grown up in a construction project my entire life. My dad is a carpenter and my mom is a nurse. So I grew up in a very blue collar household. When I was in kindergarten, my parents decided that they were going to knock down the house and build a new one. So they demolished the entire house except for the bathroom. My dad took a bath in the bathtub. We took a family photo and then finished the demolition and built the house that's still there today. But it's still not done. 23 years later, we always find a new project every year and want to change something or add something.
I love that. So did that inspire you to go to school for construction or did you start off in a different path?
When I was very young, I wanted to be an architect. I wanted to draw beach houses and I wanted to design those. And I actually wanted to be an Imagineer at Disney for a long time. I wanted to design roller coasters. So I figured architecture school would be a good path for me. So I went to Catholic University for that in DC. And then I went through 4 years of school and realized I do not want to be an architect. But I got lucky to find a role in construction and have been here ever since.
What about construction was a better fit for you than architecture?
I had some trouble with people changing my design, changing my ideas. I was not so willing to give up on something that I created. And so I knew that would be a struggle for me if I were to do it professionally. But I also really like the practical side. And my program was very conceptual based. I much more was like, there's a problem. How does this go together? I was a Legos kid. How do the pieces fit together the right way?
What are you doing now?
I'm a project manager for general contractor.
What does a day-to-day look like for you as a project manager?
One of the great things is that no day is like the day before and no day coming is like the day you're currently having. I've been fortunate to have come up a little differently than most people. I started as a project engineer, but then I went into the assistant super role. I kind of similar to yourself because I like the field side. I had good mentorship from my superintendent on my very first project that was not there for my first project manager. So I very much wanted to be in the field, learn how things get put together before I would ever have to talk about how they cost or how long it would take to do something without actually seeing how long it takes to do something. And then at some point I jumped back and was an assistant project manager and then project manager. I'm a bit of a switch hitter, if you will. I can go fill any role, help out in any spot in the field because I've done a little bit of everything. I'm very organized and I like to find the pennies kind of person, which drives some people crazy, but a lot of what I do is the financial management on the projects, scoping, getting all the subcontractors on board, and then helping our project teams execute.
Makes sense. So what about being a project manager has kept you in this role?
It's a tough one. I mean, there's definitely days where it's challenging, where you're just constantly finding one problem after the other. But I very much like to, solve puzzles. I feel like I'm much better at puzzle solving than problem solving, which I don't think people really think about sometimes. Problem solving to me is finding a solution that's not necessarily in front of you, whereas I much more prefer to put the pieces together that are there and follow a system to get there. So that's more of a possibility.
I've never thought about it that way. Yeah. That's a pretty cool way to differentiate what it's like being in the field and being in the office. And of course, there's definitely overlap time to time, but that is a cool way to look at it. So outside of, working with Legos as a kid, what other skills did you learn to help you grow your career?
Sure. I mean, like I said, with my house being a living, breathing construction project and my dad being a carpenter, I learned how to do tile. I learned how to paint. I learned how to pull up carpet and put hardwood down, physical construction pieces. But a lot of it's also just absorbing, being around content. Like I said, I watch things on YouTube. I watch different shows, listen to podcasts, books, just taking in information. And I think that's a really important piece of, excelling at something is collecting a good database. So when I was a kid, I loved watching Extreme Makeover Home Edition. I love Ty Pennington's crazy energy. I've also read his book, which is kind of cool to get, his personal history on how he acts and why he's done what he does. But seeing something come together so quickly and how that brings people together, that one's not so recent, but that's one of the things that I definitely drew a lot of my inspiration from.
I have not thought about Ty Pennington and the whole Extreme Makeover crew in so long. I was obsessed with that show growing up too. And we actually had a house in my neighborhood, not my neighborhood, but in my area that the crew came out to. And so I went home for a little bit just so I could watch it from the sidelines. Yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah. And I grew up watching HGTV. My mom was always seeing what new things she could do and how my dad could help build that. So, trading spaces and Property Brothers and all those types of shows.
Mm-hmm. That all feels so nostalgic. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about with each other today on the episode was about networking and how that's helped us grow our careers and how, we're not your typical owner or business development manager pursuing networking from a sales perspective. Yeah. So, we're coming at it from a way to enhance our careers and a way to enhance our project experiences. So I wanted to learn more about what networking has been like for you and how it's helped you out.
Sure. I started coming to ABC networking event right after I started at Coakley. It's been parallel with my entire career at this point. I had an executive in our company in one of our monthly meetings say, we want you to go to industry associations or I want you to be on committees. 22-year-old Megan said, okay, you're going to pay for me to go have two beers and some dinner for nothing that I have to pay for? Yeah, I'll be there. But that I didn't quite understand at the time that was such a pivotal thing of just showing up to that event and meeting one or two people. Because I started to like them. And then I started to come back to more and more. And to the point that now I'm, involved in different committees and different organizations on different boards in a bunch of different areas.
Yeah. You've definitely picked up a following. I feel like anywhere I go that is a social related event and you're there, you have your own fans. They're just so excited to see you, which I love.
It's a lot about building relationships with people. It's not just pitching business, it's building relationships. And that's something that my company really focuses on and takes pride in what we do.
Have you always been really open to chatting with people or did it take some practice?
It's kind of funny. I think a lot of that came in college for me. When I was in high school, I was a little bit more quiet. I was still involved in sports and had my cliques and teams of people, but I wasn't so open to going to speak to somebody that I didn't know. But then I went to college, a Catholic, and got involved with their orientation program, which was a complete 180 from what I was doing in high school. I was, you know, forced to go interact with somebody I didn't know, but I really liked that. And I fell into a good rhythm doing that. So I think when I got to my professional career, it was a lot easier for me to do that same thing because I got so much experience doing it in college.
Were there any specific like tips and tricks you picked up along the way?
A lot of it is building that relationship before you are building that business relationship. So get to know people. You know, so many of the people that I've known from these associations is almost 7 years long now because I just said, hey, how are you? How's it going? And like had no interest in building a business relationship on day one. I just got to know that person. So that would be a one thing that's really important. And then realizing, you know, when you're networking at an event, like everybody's there to do the same exact thing you are. So how can you differentiate yourself a little bit? And then a lot of it is just listening to people. I mean, it's amazing how much we don't listen to people sometimes, how sometimes if you're on a mission, some things go in one ear and out the other. Get to know people, truly listen to what they have to say. You know, you'll never know where you'll find some cool, weird connection with somebody. And it's just incredibly important. You get a lot more respect for people and from people when you do listen to what they say.
Yeah, I think that is a true statement across any relationship, even outside of like the professional space. How has building these relationships helped your career?
I think it's been, you know, instrumental. I mean, my involvement with ABC goes back to the beginning of my career and it makes me comfortable speaking to people in different roles. I'm frequently interacting with heads of companies at ABC events, but I might not be doing that on my job site. But I know that I have that connection and I can call them if I, you know, had a question, I need some advice. I actually do want to do business with them. It breaks down a little bit of barriers between the generations, which is cool too.
That is really neat. You pick up people who might start off as resources or like, just call me if you need something, or they start off as mentors. And next thing you know, you're friends with them and that like that line's blurred and you're like, I don't know the difference. I just like hanging out with you.
Exactly.
So have you had any like awkward networking flops where it just did not work out at all?
Yeah. I mean, not every interaction is going to be great. For me, it's, I meet so many people. I can't keep them straight sometimes. I'm like, who works where? You know, I think one person does something and they do something totally different. Or, you know, you forget that people's name is like the worst feeling in the world. And they come up and they say, hey, Megan, how are you? I'm like, oh my God, who are you? And you don't want to like feel awkward and ask them what their name is. But like, at the same time, you have to be like, hey, I'm sorry again. Like, who are you? Like, I want to continue this on. Like, don't let that awkwardness fester. Like, you're going to need to address it and stop it and move on.
A good piece of advice. I know I've been in situations where I'll like see all total like deer in the headlights. And I'm like, I really don't know who you are. And people are like, no, I met you at whatever. And I'm like, it's not coming to me. And there's some days where I'm the presenter at something. So I'm swamped with people and like planning. And I'm like, I just did not retain that information. I'll feel so bad. And there are days where I'm like, I just have to fess up. And it's funny because it's like, as a kid, I was so good with like faces and names that I never understood. And people were like, oh, I'm terrible with names. And the older I get, the worse I get with names now.
Yeah. And so much of like, you're interacting with some people through social media, so you might not know what they look like sometimes. Like, you're talking to them on email so much, or somebody texts you or calls you. And I'm like, I have no idea what you look like, but I meet you in person and it's a totally different situation. Like, I've been talking to you for years and now I finally know what you look like.
Yeah, that's always a really weird one too. And it's like, sometimes I try to like LinkedIn stalk people to gauge what they look like, especially if I know I'm going to meet them somewhere. But do you have any like tricks for networking virtually?
That's a good point. Networking is not just in person. You know, you're networking with somebody whenever you're having a conversation because you're building your network of people. You're building your resources. Like I've said before, building that personal connection is really important for me. It's like, I want to be able to, you know, ask them how their weekend was, you know, how was little Johnny's softball game or t-ball game or whatever. Because, you know, that makes every conversation you have so much easier. Like, we always have to face tough issues, especially when it comes to like talking about money or talking about problems or talking about schedules being delayed. And we have a tough job. And how do you balance hard conversations with light conversations? And like some of these people that I met my first year here, I always bring up, you know, 20 years from now, when we're trying to resolve a conflict on a job, I'd rather call up the guy that I've known for 25 years and be like, hey, how's it going? How are we going to fix this? Than somebody I have no idea who they are.
So do you have go-to questions that you use to help learn who somebody is? Or do you just take it from like a purely organic standpoint where it just, if it happens, it happens?
I don't really have go-tos. I mean, every person's different. A little bit of it goes back to that listening piece. If you walk up in the middle of a conversation to see what they're already talking about sometimes. If I walk up to somebody that isn't talking to anybody, I'm just asking them, hey, how's it going? You know, how's your day? Who are you? What do you do? Where are you from? Tell me something about you. I don't necessarily need to do business with you on day one. I need to build a relationship with you on day one.
It's that relationship that takes everything to the next level. So I'm going to transition over to the rapid fire questions. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Coffee or tea?
Absolutely coffee. Specifically, these days I've been drinking large blueberry iced coffee from Dunkin'.
Oh, that sounds so good right now. Favorite footwear brand for work?
I have worn the Timberland Pit Boss Pros for my entire career. Never change it. They're so good. So comfy. I wear them to the office. I can't wear any other shoes, it feels like.
How did you get so lucky to just find one pair of boots that just worked for you?
I wore work boots in like high school because it was like a trendy fashion thing almost that were not steel toe, they were just regular Timberlands because I thought they looked cool. And then I bought a little bit better version because it had better specs on comfort and time of wear. How it all would deal with how often I'd be wearing them. Could be an 8-hour day, could be a 14-hour day. You never know. They're the most comfortable shoes I own.
What's a tool that you can't live without for work?
For me, being a project manager, I say the computer mouse. You don't realize how devastating it is not to have your mouse sometime. I'm a person that's got my laptop with two extra screens. I got my headphones and my own mouse. And if I don't have my mouse, it's like I've never used a computer before. I can't do anything.
I'm that weirdo that like most of what I do without a mouse. People hate me for it.
It depends on the type of computer you have. Because if I have a Mac, I'm a little better off. But on an HP or Dell type computer, I cannot do anything without a mouse.
So what are you currently reading or listening to?
Sure. So I'm from Philadelphia, West Philly suburbs, born and raised. So I'm catching up on the New Heights podcast, which is Jason and Travis Kelce, who are two NFL brothers, big hype about them being in the Super Bowl this past year. They have a lot of good insight and just positive vibes and talk about a lot of different aspects of football that I didn't really even think about for a long time. And then reading wise, you know, I have a pretty big personal library. I think it was somebody told me to build your library at one point in my life, and I've kind of stuck with that. Got like over 100 books in my apartment. Haven't read them all yet, but I'm on my way. But right now I'm reading Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat for Cooking and a book called What I Was Doing While You Were Breeding, which is all about traveling and why it's important at certain points in your life.
I've never heard of that book. It sounds interesting though.
Something that popped up on Amazon and pretty good so far. The author's a former SNL writer, so it's funny too.
Oh, I bet. That sounds like a good read then. Mm-hmm. I was curious for this football-related podcast, are there any like lessons that you learned from that you can actually apply to like your own career?
Yeah, I mean, we frequently talk about the coaching and the mentorship that they received over the years, and we'll talk about because they've both been coached by Andy Reid and a number of other coaching staffs. They just talk about how they learned and how they got better at their craft. So there are a lot of, you know, parallels that you can take to your career from them.
And what's that podcast called again?
It's called the New Heights Podcast.
So is there one last piece of advice you can offer somebody who is looking to grow their career as a project manager?
Yeah. So openly admit that you don't know everything. You know, I can frequently get stuck in I think I know everything and I have to be in control all the time. You are always going to be working on a team. You will not always have the right answer. Accept that, you know, ask somebody else what they think, because they're going to have an idea that you one would never think of and two is probably going to solve your problem. People love to talk about what they do and they have such different experiences than you have in your own life sometimes. You need to build that collective relationship and peace so that you can all succeed.
That's a hard one to do. The asking for help and in like releasing control. What are some of the baby steps that she took? Because I imagine it's not like you flipped a switch and you're like, here, have control. Unless you did. Totally fine.
It's incredibly hard for me. I'm a pennies person when it comes to the money and finding where everything has to fit so it's perfect. You know, and it's so hard to be a perfectionist and realize that nothing is perfect in everything you do. For me, being a project manager, I'm now training our project engineers and some of our assistant supers and assistant project managers. So giving them responsibilities that I'm so used to doing myself is extremely difficult. But a lot of it is me understanding that I'm hindering them by not giving them opportunity, by sticking around and doing it myself. And it's going to be okay if it's not 100% the way I would have done it. It's taken years to, and I'm still not comfortable with it, but I don't think I'll ever be fully comfortable with it.
That's a difficult one to tackle. And like, I think once you kind of like break into it, it gets easier because you're like, oh, okay. I know I can trust so-and-so. So if I give them this task, I know it'll be fine.
And we use a lot of really good tools. Like we use Procore for our management and it tracks everything you do. So I can figure out the problem, but I make them figure out how to fix their own problem a lot of the time. Now, I very much got thrown into the fire, was learning how to do things. So I throw them into a controlled fire a lot of the time.
Very kind of you. It's a good way to learn. Like, it's cool that you know what the issue is and how to fix it in your perspective, but then you're letting them explore that route too.
Yeah, I want you to find your own answer and say, hey, does this work, before I give you one? Because you're never going to learn if I give you all the answers. Because I don't have all the answers either.
True. It makes me think of one of my first mentors. He was just like day one on the job site, and he'd advocated for me to come onto his job site. And he was like, I'm going to put you on a leash. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you all the room in the world. I will give you room enough to hang yourself if you really, really want to. But I'll also reel you back in when I feel like you need to just come back in and you need some help. So it definitely allowed me so much room to explore and grow and build confidence in myself so that like I know how to present myself in front of the different crews or how to speak to the owners or anything like that. So it helped me build my relationships. And honestly, like that made all the difference in just the first few months of being on a job site as a young professional.
Okay. Yeah. When I was an assistant super, you know, I was a 23-year-old young woman trying to tell people my dad's age, hey, go do that. Hey, you're not going fast enough. Hey, this is wrong. And it was so weird and awkward. But you slowly get comfortable and you realize it's not a power position. You're there to support them so that they can do what they need to do.
How did you help them understand that?
It was tough. I mean, I've been in screaming matches with 6-year-old men that have no intent of wanting to listen to a word I've said. And sometimes, you know, other people on my team have had to step up and advocate for me. But a lot of it is an older generation that I think is phasing out, that a long time ago, construction, it was acceptable to yell at people. I mean, that's how you got your way. The whole different generation in this workplace right now, that's not acceptable anymore. You have to find ways to work with people, and common expectations need to be agreed upon.
I'm so glad that we're moving away from the screaming matches.
I think there's a time and a place, like everybody needs to just go yell into the wind sometimes and like let out their frustration, but taking it out on people is the worst solution.
It really is. And then it's like you fester bad relationships, because I've been on jobs where that has happened from like a lead and the subs don't feel comfortable going to the lead and then they came to me instead. And I'm like, oh boy, this is a lot of pressure and a lot of responsibility, but we built our relationships and, you know, I was able to not be that roadblock in their work lives so that they could move forward and that made a huge difference in building our relationships together. So my last question for you is, how can the Space to Build community connect with you?
Sure. So I'm on LinkedIn as Megan Rost. I'm on Instagram at BuilderMeg. Those are probably the two best places to get a hold of me. But come to an event. Come meet me in person. I love to hang out with people and build my network.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the episode today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here today. If you would like to chime in on the conversation, you can find us online at space2build.co. Yes, it's .co. We are also on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at space2build. When you have a moment, do you mind leaving a review for this podcast? I read your reviews at the end of each episode, and I'm constantly looking for ways to improve. Any ideas to improve your experience will be more than welcomed. And remember, you belong here. There is so much space for you in our industry.